The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Varus Health Partners.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Little Fortunate Son, can you remember the band? Creedence Clearwater Revival, for those of us of that generation. And we had a special request this morning because our guests and our hosts this half hour are friends from Varus Health, Keith and Pam Giles, and they have their son with them, and it's his birthday. So I said, you get to pick the song today. So welcome. It's Dan, is that right?
Yes.
Dan Rosemeyer, their son. So Welcome aboard. Thank you for your service, sir, and happy, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's up
excellent
to you.
Excellent choice, wasn't it?
Excellent choice.
Yeah. It's great, man. Yeah, we're lucky to have here Dan with us, and we started... When he came over, we started talking about our transitioning in and out of the military, and we got to the point where it's like, okay, how was your transitioning when you left the military?
Oh gosh!
And so we went over that. We get a lot of people that come to us and tell us, you know, hey, I'm transitioning now. What do I do? You know, things like that. And each person seems to be a little different.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm assuming it depends on which branch you're into and the how they handle it and their systems that are in place.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Over the course of time, we got little stories of each of us when we were transitioning out. And then when we were talking to Dan, he's got a pretty good story. And we're like, hey, how about coming on the radio show with us?
Yeah.
It's one of those one things that we've never heard before. And because there's so many different what roads you can take.
Sure, of course.
Yeah,
depending on which branch you're in and what you did and how long you've been deployed. If you've been deployed, how long you've been in the service. Mm-hmm. So tell us your story, sir, and welcome to Pep Talk.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So I joined the military in 2001. It was actually right before 9/11. And then shortly after that, I went to basic training. And then throughout my time, I did 15 years. I ended up getting medically discharged, which played a lot into how I transitioned because they also had me doing the transition patient event, which they briefly talk about what you need to do when you go to the VA and figure out what you need to do with that. And the VA, as great as they are, they have hundreds of thousands of vets that they have to deal with on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah.
So when they're giving you an initial brief on, hey, this is what you're going to need to do and things of that nature, it's very difficult for them to pinpoint and say, hey, this is exactly what you need to do, which is what the problem was when it came to me. So they gave me what was called a compensation payment when I got out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out, they didn't actually tell me, hey, you also can't file for disability if you take this money. So, so that was kind of the Air Force's fault on that one.
Ow.
So when I ended up filing for my disability, my initial disability, it didn't get caught. So it worked out in my favor where I was still able to get my, and I only started out at about 50%.
Mm-hmm.
But once I refiled and I ended up going through a law firm this time, because the first time I went and filed for my disability, it was, hey, I'm just going to do this on my own. This will be fine. And it's easy enough to make your own appointments and things of that nature, but it is works out a lot better when you actually go to a law firm that specializes in VA compensation, which is what I ended up doing my second go around to up my disability because it just wasn't enough. And it's just something that I think when vets are getting out, Army, Air Force, Marines, Navy, it doesn't matter, when they're getting out, it's something that should be brought to their attention of, hey, yeah, we have the VA here and they will help you out. But since it's such a large organization, they don't have the resources at the VA itself to individualize every single person that needs to get their disability. So what I ended up doing was, and I actually got help from my now fiance who has her brother who also got out.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through a different law firm. And I got the contact information from her brother for the law firm that I ended up going through. And that was Gump's VA Disability. They're actually based out of Texas, and they do phenomenal work for any veteran. And they helped me out a lot. And one of the big things that you have to remember is you need to make sure you're bringing everything up when you're getting out of the military, when you're going to the VA, everything. One thing that her brother and I both didn't want to talk about was PTSD.
Sure.
PTSD is a huge, huge misnomer, and people, they get afraid that they're going to lose their ability to, you know, carry firearms, things of that nature, which mm-hmm. is one thing. I'm very, very pro 2A, and I like having my firearms with me, and that was one thing I never wanted to talk to VA about. I was like, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think that, you know, I have issues or problems, things of that nature, which PTSD in and of itself is something that needs to be talked about, and it needs to stop having such a bad misnomer in the fact that you're just going to lose, you know, all your rights because they're not going to let you, you know, do this, that, and the other. And so it was kind of a hard hill to climb when it came to that, especially for PTSD. So my second go around, talked with my fiance and talked it through with the VA, and actually ended up getting that documented and talking through it, because 15 years, there's 11 deployments.
11 deployments?
Yes. Yeah. I deployed 11 times.
God bless you for that. Thank you for your
for
service.
For a total of 5 years combined. Wow. for those 11 deployments.
Gosh.
And it was, so I ended up doing 9 deployments. I was aircraft maintenance. I was Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So I did aircraft maintenance first, did 9 deployments with that, and then I cross-trained into explosive ordnance disposal. So
Oh my gosh.
So I did 2 deployments with that, and one of those was a combat deployment, which led to my issues with PTSD. So it was an adventure. It was a ride. It was
a great
time.
So.
I mean, I enjoyed my time. I enjoyed my I'm glad I don't do it anymore. I got out 9 years ago, so
It may be time to write your book. it sounds like you might have a few stories for us.
I mean, you know, maybe someday, but if it comes to that. And there are plenty of stories to be told, but my biggest issue is one of the things that I have to face is I have a good memory of certain things, as my fiance can attest to, but there are certain things, like a lot of my active duty time, I can't remember a lot of it because mm-hmm. there was so much of it. But also between, you know, various brain and head injuries throughout my deployments and things of that nature, that I can't remember all my stories, but once I actually get like to talking about them, they just kind of come for a recall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just once you get to talking, it helps to recall a lot of that stuff.
Of course.
But I think one of the biggest things I can tell any vet as they move forward to get ready to get out is, hey, do not do it alone. One of the biggest ones that they actually had when you get out, they have what's called a transition assistance program. And they have a bunch of reps from a bunch of different areas come and say, hey, this is what you can look forward to when you're getting out, which, and Keith, Mom, and I, we had all talked about this, is, yeah, they tell you what to expect, but it doesn't begin to actually classify what it's going to be like because you had the structure for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, you had health insurance. You had all these things that was all covered by the military.
Right.
And unless you get a job immediately as you get out, which a lot of retirees have that ability. They have the ability to transition to another job as they're getting out. But me getting out at 15 years, I didn't have the skills that I gained when I was active duty didn't garner me a job for at least 6 months. I wasn't even able to find a job for 6 months after I got out. So
it's got to be shocking.
It must have been
just a culture shock in a way,
was.
Too, because everything's
sure.
so different.
Yeah.
And being deployed that many times out of the country, so much happens now, especially with the technology and just the politics, everything is just kind of crazy. And I can't even imagine what it'd be like to come back to that.
My first 2 or 3 deployments, I was making phone calls using, you know, calling cards and things of that nature. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have these international call plans.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any of this stuff, or, you know, even video calling, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, my first 3 or 4 deployments, we didn't have it. It was all phone calls on landlines.
Wow.
With call cards.
Wow.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just watching all that stuff progress throughout the years, and then having to play catch up with the rest of the civilian world once you get out is one of the hardest transitions to make. And it was a difficult one. My first job I actually ended up that I finally got hired for was actually working for Lowe's, and I did it for about 2 weeks because it was ridiculous. But working for Lowe's, actually moving appliances in, like people who come in and buy houses. So you deliver appliances and hook them into a house.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for about 2 weeks. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely not for me.
Oh, so, it's not going to work. Oops.
I ended up, trying to find something else. And then I finally ended up finding a DOD contracting position because I was in Utah. So I picked that up and then I did that for about a year and a half. And then I got my first job as a DOD civilian,
mm-hmm.
which moved me to Massachusetts from Utah. And then from there, that's what I've been doing as a DOD civilian. But it was a long road to get to that point because nobody tells you, hey, this is how you're going to have to do this to get there, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, like, when we were in a transition part of that, we were kind of going over some of the things that we think should be longer in our transition. And, for instance, like our VA benefits, there's a lot of benefits out there for veterans,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it could be as simple as, hey, bringing in somebody to sign everybody up when you're getting out.
Right.
I have had conversations with folks over there in Herbert Field
mm-hmm.
about their transition thing. And I said, I think it really starts 2 years before you decide to get out.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
You should start telling people this, like, this is available for you. This is what you should be preparing for. And not just wait till you're ready to kick this out.
Yeah, right.
Or it's like time for you to go. There's some things that we could do better. And one of them would have, I think, in my thoughts is, you got to tell people about the VA,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to tell people to keep your records, you know, and, you know, as one Marine told me, he says, don't be Superman. I'm okay. I don't need anything.
That's a trap, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it is for sure.
Yeah. Well, let me just interrupt just for a second and let people know that just joined us. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. We're talking with our friends from Veris Health, Pam and Keith Giles, with their son, Dan, who has done an incredible amount of service for our country with the Air Force, and talking about that transition back, because Veris Health is a health insurance group, and so we want to make sure to kind of talk a little bit, because you gave me a couple of talking points here about that transition and what people can do, because I would imagine it's overwhelming, not just psychologically and just the day-to-day what you have to do, but also emotionally. I'm sure that it's just a big transition.
Yeah.
So how can you help?
I was going to say, that was a couple of things when we were talking about not only have more, there's a certain amount of allotted time, like Keith talked about, when you get your transition piece.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things Dan had mentioned is spending more time when they educate us when we get out about what the VA is, how do you apply, and what do you do. But if you're retired, you do have what we call TRICARE when you get out of the military. If you don't have TRICARE and you get discharged, like Dan got out and he didn't have TRICARE, so, and if you don't have a job that already gives you benefits, it's like, okay, so what do I do? You know, and one of the things we do, yes, a lot of people can use the VA, and we struggle with this with the ACA or the Affordable Care Act, marketplace plans, whichever way you want to term them.
So here's a crazy thing about that. So if you have somebody getting out and they go and apply for coverage with the VA, that's considered credible coverage. So you can't apply. Let's say you're a staff sergeant getting out, E5, and you got a family of four. There's no, you can't collect any credits on the ACA because you already have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
For you, for family, it's different. So those are some of the things that
also got to remember about that is if you get anything less than 100%, you're not getting actual health coverage.
That's a good point,
Dan. The VA is only going to cover what your disability is for if you're under 100%. So my 50% when I first got mine, they only covered what they said I was 50% disabled for. That's it.
Wow.
But mm-hmm. when I got upgraded to 100%. Now they give you full health coverage,
mm-hmm.
dental, vision, all the great things. But you have to get, that's that magic number, though. The magic number is hitting that 100%. And unfortunately, this is the unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, not every single vet getting out is going to be able to get that 100%. And nor should they, because I don't think every vet deserves 100%. I mean, I think every vet deserves credibility for what they did for service to the country, but every vet's experience is different.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you should definitely go to the VA and get something out of your service, especially if you experience injuries or problems while you're in. But not every vet is going to be able to get that 100%, which is that magic number of, all right, now you're fully covered. We will cover everything, not just what you're disabled for.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one thing. A lot of vets who get entrenched don't know that.
Yeah.
It sounds very complicated to me, and it sounds like you get lost in the weeds pretty quick if you don't have a good advisor. Mm-hmm. If you have a question on this topic or comment, feel free to text it in at 850-437-1620. You're listening to Pep Talk. Our experts are here from Veris Health. So how can you help someone like your son? And then when they're coming out and they're transitioning, what are some of the things that you can do to help them?
The best thing is, number one, I would tell them to sign up for. It depends. Actually, it depends on age. So here's the thing. If I'm sitting in front of a family of four mm-hmm. and they need health care, I would tell them not to go that route. And if you're making a certain amount of money, you can almost get a plan for $0, right, for a family of four. Otherwise, you're paying $24,000 a year for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to keep the spouse and everybody out of the picture, but you got coverage, you know.
That's the big thing, right? Is the VA, regardless if you get 100%, the VA only covers you, doesn't cover anybody else.
Right.
So once you do that, then you have you're taking your family out of the picture. So,
mm-hmm. So if someone has some questions and they wanted to contact you, how do they get in touch with you?
They would call us.
850-710-7196.
Okay, and you're located on Palafox Street?
Yes, ma'am.
In downtown Pensacola?
Yes.
Okay.
What I was going to say too, Keith, with the, if a veteran does qualify and they can use the VA, you still got your family to worry about.
Right.
You can't get tax credits if you're using the VA as the individual. Mm-hmm. But you can, what about your family on the marketplace?
You can file that. So that will actually work.
You can get tax credits for your family.
You can get tax credits, yeah.
Okay. Obviously.
Same rules hold case if your family and you've got an employer plan that you're not providing coverage for the spousal and the kids. Then you can do that on exchange. You fall in these grips where it's all income based, so you have to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you've already mentioned like 10 different things that I'm already confused.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even in the military, so I'm in trouble.
I tell you what, I was going to be a recruiter there for a little while because I talked to people out of leaving the military over there in Herbert because mm-hmm. they had a family of four. And he's like, I'm not going to pay $24,000. Unless you have a good job going out. So that was something he didn't take into consideration. And so both of them just upped again, you know, and joined again. So.
Well, you had a list here of some resources that people can take advantage of, which is a pretty good list, it looks like to me. Would you like to go over that real quick before we run out of time?
Yeah, sure. You talked about...
My big one that is the law firm that I went through, which is mm-hmm. GUMS, VA Disability and Compensation Services. They're phenomenal. They all you have to do is reach out. You can go on their website, which is GUMSVA.gov, I think, or mm-hmm. GUMSVA.com. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which one it was. And you can actually just request somebody to reach out to you. They will give you a call within a day or two and start walking you through the entire process. The only piece of paperwork that I had to sign that was anything extra was a medical release form.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything else.
Wow. Okay.
That's the beautiful thing about
literally
that.
Literally everything sure. else. Mm-hmm. They scheduled all my extra appointments that I had to go through with the VA, all of it.
Wow. Okay.
And all I had to do was sign a medical release form. And then after that, we sat down and did an hour discussion for what they were going to do and mm-hmm. how they're going to like compensate, how they get compensated. Because it's only, they don't ask for any money. Like, if they can't up your disability, they give
that's
you.
That's my next question, was either fees involved or.
So what their focus is once you get up, they increase that. They just take a percentage of whatever your back pay is. Mm-hmm. So the way it works is when they when they initially file, it's going to be about 6 months for them to change your disability from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they initially file, you're going to get all that back pay from the initial filing for your disability. And all they do is they take a percentage out of that back pay, and that's it.
Wow.
It sounds like
they've really streamlined the process.
And I'm going to tell you, if any vet getting out, that is what they need to do. Do not try to go to the VA by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
DAV is another, from my understanding, a great resource to use. I've never used them, but I've heard nothing but good things about DAV. And I think it's dav.gov. I'm thinking for that one too. I have to look that one up. But DAV is actually, it's like their whole focus again is also going to the VA and making sure that you get every compensation that they can get for you.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't. DAV is still kind of, it's all veterans, which is great.
Right.
But it's also kind of endorsed by the VA and the federal government, which, I mean, if you want to go for that, that's great. But I prefer to reach kind of outside of the system and other people who work directly with the VA, but they're not like, it's just, it worked out way better for me going through GOMS.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And everybody else has their own stories, but I'm telling you, if you're getting out, go through a firm that specializes in VA compensation.
Right. And talk to other people. Sometimes people will say, hey, no, you do it this way and help you that way. But, yeah, I did the same thing. I went to a lawyer and had him do it. So, but trying to get through it and think you're going to get through it very easy is not going to be easy. Matter of fact, you know, one of the people that I work with is Stetson University. And they have a bunch of young lawyers that specialize in veterans that have problems getting their claims through. And they've been very successful, and it costs them no money, and it's an awesome thing. It's from Stetson University, and
Stetson, Stenson, or Stetson?
Stetson. Yeah. University. So it's really cool, and they've been quite successful in it. So that's another resource that you can use. And you've got a young lawyer standing in front of the judges. They're going to give him in anyway. You know, they're going to be so proud of them. So as far as I know, Johnny, the guy that we reach out to, he says they haven't failed, you know.
So you have a couple of lawyers listed here, Gardberg and Kimmerly, it looks like, Kimmerly.
Yeah.
And then Gumps that you already mentioned, Dan, already mentioned Gumps, VA Compensation Services, Johnny Pruitt, looks like.
Yep.
Assistant Director of the SCO Veterans Law Institute, and there's a website you can go there. You can probably Google that. You also have Santa Rosa County Veterans Services locations, and we have a couple names here, Laura Schultz in Milton and Andy Anderson in Gulf Breeze.
Yeah, yes. So those are the two VSOs that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're both really good.
So. But if someone is in the process of this transition, they could call you to get the process started at Veris Health.
They get direction who to contact, where to go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well, we only have about a minute or so left. So, Dan, it's your birthday today. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Born on the 4th of July.
Not quite.
Almost.
I would have held out for 3 more days.
All right. And my goodness, we certainly appreciate your service. I'm glad all of this has worked out for you, but it makes me sad that any veteran would have to go through so much to go through this transition. To me, it should be a simple, easy process. So
the world would be a better place if that were the case.
No question about it. So I'm a little biased having a family of veterans myself. So I would just have to say that, again, it sounds trite, but I really mean it from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your service and the time that you gave up your life to defend our country. It means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to our listeners at News Radio 92.3.
Thank you.
Thanks to our friends at Veris Health. Keith and Pam are here today. Keith and Pam Giles.
Yes.
Give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call. We wish everybody happy 4th of July, and stay tuned. We still have more educational things as far as Medicare goes. That's around the corner. And we got some classes coming up. So have a good weekend.
All right. What's your website?
VerisHP.com.
All right. VerisHP.com. Thank you, Dan, Pam, Keith. We got a whole gallery of friends, fiance, friend. I don't know. It was full house this morning.
Y'all take care.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel.